time ago.
Mash that button, bro. Red light.
Long time ago, after I surrendered to preach, that's been right at, I guess it's almost been 5 years. And but we, you know, been waiting and I've been begging God and asking God what He wants to do in my life. And Brother Wynn didn't even remember one time me and him and Brother Greg was together. And I told him, I said, if the Lord ever called me to preach, I didn't think I'd be a pastor. But I know why. Because my heart's with youngins. My heart's in the mission field. That's where my heart's at. I want to be a man of God to these kids. And me and my wife, we already have a ministry at Mountain Youth Academy in Mountain City. And these kids are trauma kids. They're abused kids. They're raped. They're beat. They're just abused. And they're a level 3 trauma center. It's right under juvie. It's right under going to have to go to some really serious places. These kids are pitiful, and God smote our heart to help these kids. And then, you know, you got to have the heart for it, because you just can't decide that you want to, because your heart gets broke when you look at some of these youngins and you know what they've dealt with. And they look at you and they say, "Preacher, why do bad things happen?" And I can't explain it, but God knows. And God knows why some of these things happen to these kids. And I said, you know, but you're safe right now because you're in this facility and nobody can get a hold of you. And I said, God's got a plan for your life. And we challenge them. We love them. And we've been over there over a year. And it's kind of like a whole lot of the ones that we've grown to love is gone. They've gone back into the world. And I can't have any contact with these kids after they go home. And it breaks our heart, because some of them, I mean, they're from 5 to 17 years old. And it just kills you to watch some of these kids go back out and know that they're basically going right back into it, because some of their parents don't believe what's happened to them. Some of their grandparents don't believe what's happened to them. And it's like you just, it breaks your heart. But then I got cancer, and I'm going to try to be just to fill you in with my life and our life just as fast as you can. This past February, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And it was an aggressive type, a real... my PSAs was 4.5, which is not, a lot of people say that's not bad, but it is in a 52-year-old man. And my Dr. Marinakis, I love him to death. We got to looking at each other. He's a military man, and I respect him. And if you're a veteran, I love you more than you'll ever know. And you'll get to learn me, and you'll learn a lot about me. But I speak fast, I run rabbits, so just hang in there with me. And I'm not as refined as your pastor. And you can ask Brother Raymond. I've known Raymond a long time. I've known Rob Greer a long time, and he's still sitting on his rear end, even in the choir. He's still driving a truck in the choir. And that's just, I love Rob. I've always have. And it's just, you know, y'all have been good to me. But it's, you know, you build relationships with people that you'll never know. John Dees coached me in football when I was a little fella. Well, not really little. But I love him, and he was just, he's always been special to me. But, you know, we going back over to the Youth Academy, you know, God, well, I'm back to my cancer now, so y'all just bear with me, because, I mean, I've got a lot to say, and I want to say it, but I want to be respectful to God. And it's, you know, it's hard to hear. And then Sister Kim, I've known her my whole life, and then to hear about her, and it's like, you know, God has a plan, and God has a purpose for everything we go through. And I know good and well I went through mine to help somebody. And I went through mine, and I've had two blood tests since, and my PSA is undetectable, and that's what they want. But, you know, y'all pray for us, because I got a hernia issue in one of my incisions, and we've got to take care of that, I hope. And I got a heart issue, and, you know, I ain't going to load you up on a bunch of stuff. Just pray for us. Because God's bigger than anything I'll ever face. He got me through this, and I'm probably in the best shape I've been in 20 years. And a lot of people, you know, it's just because I was so sick. And the cancer, I'm not saying this snidely, the cancer was the easy part. When I made it home, I had 2 blood clots in my right lung, and I liked to die. And I've never been that close to death's door and not knowing what was wrong with me. I was in the most pain I've ever been in my life. I couldn't deal with it. I didn't know, and it got to be a dark time. And I had to have prayers and people praying for me, because I couldn't pray for myself. I hurt so bad that I could not even grasp God at one time. And that's bad when you trust and you love God and you know what He's done for you, but you can't even cry out to Him because you hurt so bad. And you just got, you're dying. You want some relief. But God's got me through that, and I praise Him, give Him all the honor and glory for it, because He's what got me through. God's prayers and God's people got me through the darkest time in my life. And you know, I sat at home. I was out of work for over 3 months, or 3 months. Went back to work in the middle of July. And I sat, and all I could do was sit and think, and I begged God. I said, God, I want to do something for You. I said, You've kept me alive again. And I had a brain aneurysm in 2012. Not really aneurysm, but I had a blood clot in the brain. And I am a mess. I mean, but physically, I'm not scared. And I've got a doctor in downtown Boone. And he said, Tim, you're going to run out of luck. I said, Doc, I don't run on luck. I said, God's got a hold of my life. God's going to keep me alive as long as He wants to keep me alive. And a lot of doctors don't want to hear that, but that's the truth. And I told him, I said, I know a lot of people that's in a whole lot better shape than me that's in the ground. And I said, but God is not done with me, and He won't be done with me till I'm done. And I said, but God knows my heart, and God knows what I want to do, and God knows who I want to be. And God had to get me to a certain point, preacher, and I've got to be honest with y'all, and that's one thing I'll always be, and you never have to worry about me not being honest. And that's what I feel like these kids are drawn to us. I feel like those kids over there at the Youth Academy are drawn to me and my wife. And I'm going to tell you, there's no greater thing God's ever blessed me with in my entire life than being able to minister with my bride. That is special, because a lot of pastors don't get that opportunity. I've got the opportunity, and my wife is probably more critical in these ministries than I am. And buddy, I lift her up. I love that woman. She's been through the trenches with me. I'm telling you, she's backed me, and she's been through the trenches, and she knows. But she said, I've never seen you more settled on what you are right now. And I begged God, and I said, reveal to me what you want. Reveal yourself to me. And He said, if you'll give me all of you, I will reveal it. And I hate to admit this, but now I'm a called man of God. God called me to preach. I didn't decide it. He called me to preach. But we'll even hold back a little bit on Him, won't we, preacher? Yeah. Preachers will. I'm being honest. But He said, if you'll let me have it all, we're going to do something. And I give it to Him. And I said, I've got to trust You with this. There ain't nothing else I can do with it. And He took that now. And y'all have this beautiful ministry, Collegians for Christ. And God's just propped us right in there. And Kyle and Amanda and Brother Wynn, your whole church is what a blessing you are to that university. And then a custom made, and I kept saying, what do you want, God? He said, it's right there. You just got to see it. You just got to see it. And then when I finally saw it, it's okay. Because I went a few times last fall, we went and sat in a few meetings with Brother Kyle, and we would, you know, I wasn't sick then. But I said, you know, I could do this. I love kids. And you know, but God was starting to get me there. God was starting to get me where He needed to get me. But now I'm sold out for. I love these kids, and they've got to have somebody to stand that's not going to back down. That campus is not a good place. It's not. Because the world's in it. And you know, when I read that, and Kyle gave me that book, and I read it, 60 to 70% of these kids lose their salvation, not their salvation, they'll never lose that, lose their faith in God in their college years. 60 to 70%, 60 to 70. It broke my heart. And I said, that's got to change. Well, you know, to make a long story short, and I know that ain't a short story, but that's kind of where we're at. I thank this church. I thank you for even considering, but you know, I started praying, Brother Kyle started praying, Brother Wynn started praying, and God's kindly answered everybody's prayer altogether. But we've had to make some big changes, and I realized that was one thing that when God got me where He wants me, I've got to be where this ministry is at. Because I want these kids to know that I'm in their lives, and I want to be in their lives, and they matter to me. And there's one sitting right back here, and I'll break down. I love that boy, and I ain't known him but 5 or 6 weeks. But he's like my son. And that's just not by happenstance. It's not a fluke thing. Kyle and Amanda started going on the road this year. Tim and Jenny start going over there and helping at Mountain Youth Academy. and I get to meet people, and I'm already drawn to people, and I'm already loving those kids, because that's the way it's supposed to be. Because God's knit everybody's heart together exactly the way it needs to be. God is bigger than anything we'll ever face. God already knew this day was coming. God already knew what was going to happen. God knew I'd be able to stand right here and just give you my heart. And you know, I'm not much of a preacher. I love to preach. But I ain't sitting here trying to get brownie points from Brother Wynn, but he's one of the greatest teachers that I ever sat under. I've sat under him. I've learned from him. But my teaching skills are lacking. Brother Kyle's a magnificent teacher. I've got to learn those skills, but I'm willing to learn them. That's my heart. I want to learn from people that can teach. A lot of people think they can, but you know, some people can. And you just know who can. And I love Brother Wynn, and we've... It's like we've always been cordial. We've always known each other. We can always cut up with each other. But, you know, now God's knit us together into something that we're in together with. And we're going. And it's a beautiful thing. And I love God and I thank Him for what He's doing. But, church, I thank you because we need you. We need you because this is a major step for us. And I know that this church is going to love us. I've done felt it. But we're different and we're new and we've got to learn you and you've got to learn us. I met Mary Ellen working out, trying to get better. And me and her just got talking about the Lord one day. It's not coincidence. There's no coincidences with God. He puts people in your life because they need to be there. And that's exactly why He put her in my life. So here we are. I love you. And if you will, turn to Psalm 51. I'm going to try to kindly preach through this whole chapter, well, down to 17. But I don't try to rush. I try to be obedient. I try to, you know, God's... And I'll tell you, church, that the first gospel night that we got to have last week, I'd never been in that. Had never got to experience that. But the presence of God was there. God is bigger. God knows who needs... who needed to be there. He knew what needed to be said. And I'm going to tell you, Satan didn't want it because I left my Bible at home. I'd studied. God did, but God was telling me something was going to happen over there while I was studying at work on Tuesday. And I talked to Brother Wynn, and then I got him, and I was frantic. I was panicking because I said, now I don't have my notes. I don't have my Bible. But he calmed me down. I kindly prayed. And God said, you're going to be fine. You just do what I say. And these kids are going to hear what you're saying from your heart because that's the only way I know how to be. I can't be different than what I am. God didn't call me to be Kyle. God didn't call me to be Brother Wynn. He called me to be me. And I'm different than a lot of people. One of my doctors at Bandy, she told me I was very complex. And my wife said, amen. But I've got a lot going on with this body, and it's just something that we got to get worked out. We got to figure it out. But I took that as I liked that because now I can tell everybody, well, I'm complex. You know, that's a new word for me to go tell everybody. I'm different. I'm complex. But if you will stand, and we'll just read one verse, and we'll pray, and then y'all can sit back down. I'll try to preach through this. It's a big chapter, and it's David's heart's broke. He knows what he's done before God, and he knows what he's done, and he's been called out on his sin kindly, and he's starting to recognize what he is, and we're still just the same as we've ever been. We're just saved. We're still sinners. We're still in this flesh, and we're never going to be nothing more than what we can be in this flesh until we leave here. We're never going to be better. We're never going to be perfect until we get out of this. We've got to recognize what we need to do with this and beg God to help us. But this is my new favorite verse, and I'm just going to, it's verse 50, or chapter 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let's pray. Almighty God, we just bow unworthy heads to you right now, dear Lord, just thanking you for this church. Thank you for this pulpit. Thank you for this pastor, God. Thank you for the opportunity to just stand and give you heart, God, and just open up and tell this church how much we need them, how much we love them, how much you're going to do through us, God. And it's going to be all you, and you're going to get the glory and honor, dear Lord. Just thank you for this ministry that's been revealed to us, God. Thank you for how you've confirmed it in my soul. Thank you for just being who you are and allowing us to just trust you. And if we'll trust you, everything is going to be okay, God. We love you. We've got to have you. And dear Lord, just help us to look through this scripture right here and to just love you more, because we've got to realize what we are, God. Just draw tonight, God. If it's tonight for someone to give their heart and soul to you, God, just draw them. Only they can come when you draw them, dear Lord. It's only got to be through your Spirit. That's the only way they can get there. But it will have to be through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for Him, God. We thank you for what He's done. We thank you for how He took our penalty, God. He took our sin to the cross, and something He didn't deserve, but He gave it freely. He did it. He gave us that gift, God. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And starting in verse 1, you know, David's begging God right here. He says, have mercy upon me. And we sang that song tonight about mercy. And the mercy and grace of God is you cannot measure what He does for us. It's bigger, more immense, and His mercies are new every day. His grace is new every day. Every day we wake up, we've got to be asking Him, you know, I'm going to mess up today. Please look over that. But we've got to recognize when we do it, and we've got to ask Him for forgiveness, because He said, I will. You know, He does not hold a sin over our head. When He forgave me of all of them. He's never held one over my head. My conscience will hold them back over my head. Satan will like to rattle them up and shake them in my face every once in a while. But it's not that God's not forgiven me of that. But you can't hold on to a sin either. You can't have a pet sin. You can't hold on to it, because that's going to get you in trouble. A lot of people say, well, I'll give up this, this, and this, but I like to do this. Well, sin's fun for a season. I'm telling you, looking at old boy, that ought not be looking back. And I lived a wicked life, and I had a hole in my heart, and I didn't know how to fill it. I tried to do every single thing in the world I could do to fill my empty void, and I couldn't do it. It's only got to be filled with Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You can't get what He can give you from anybody else or anything on this world. It's all a gift of God. It's nothing. It's supernatural. And it's the beauty of what God's done for us. He loves us. But have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Man alive, if we could go to God every morning with that, have mercy on me according to your loving kindness, and the multitude of tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. But we got to recognize what we are. And you know, I'm not and I will apologize. Been going through a lot, Brother Wynn knows what's been going on, and I didn't get to study like I needed to study for this, but God said, you've got a heart for this. Just preach it, son. Just preach it. So, I mean, I ain't got a bunch of notes, and I can't get a bunch of words that start with the same letter. I'm not, just not that way. That and there can do that. I can't. But we're not the same. And God didn't call us all to be the same. But it doesn't matter. I still love to preach. And I love to preach the Word of God, and it's beautiful. Verse 2 says, wash me throughly, not thoroughly, throughly, which means thoroughly, from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Throughly means completely and fully and wholly. Wash me throughly from the front to the back, from the top to the bottom. Please cleanse me. Make me what I need to be. That's what I need from God every day. We all need it. He's that good. He's that merciful. Verse 3 says, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. You know, a lot of people will like to go to God, but they don't want to repent. And that repentance is the key to salvation. And a lot of people don't realize, I don't think God, now this is me. Well, I'm not going to say I can't think like God. But I know that repentance is for man. Repentance is for us. We've got to recognize what we are and where we've messed up, and we got to go to God with a repentant heart. That's a requirement. You got to know where you've messed up, and you got to go to Him, and He's willing to help you with it and forgive you of it, but you got to recognize it. When you can recognize and go to God with it, He can help you with it. But when you kindly, well, I don't really, because I don't like it when somebody says, if I've got anything to apologize about, I'll apologize. There's no if to it. A whole lot of times you've got something to apologize about. Just be big enough to apologize. And me and my wife are sticklers for that. I mean, we apologize, and I love my wife, and she knows what. Our communication is special. We talk, we communicate, we love. And it's like, you know, it's beautiful how we get along. And it's just the gift that God gave me when He brought her to me. It's the beauty of what He unioned together with us. But, you know, you got to talk to God that same way. It's a communication thing. You got to listen more than you talk. And the last few months, I've really had to listen instead of telling Him what I want. He's saying, I know what I want if you'll let me do it. You're the man that I can use if you'll let me use you. Amen. He woke me up out of a dead sleep the other night. And He said, if you will, I will. You got to give it to me, and you got to give it to me all. Everything you got, your family, you got to sell out for me. I've sold out to Him. And He said, you're going to be fine. I know I am. I'm not worried about what God... I'm not worried about what I don't have. I'm not worried about what I don't get. I'm worried about what I can do for Him. That's what we need to be worrying about. It's what we can do for God. Because we'll never repay Him. The whole world could never repay Jesus Christ for what He's done for us. There's no way. But you know, to be able to stand up and just give your heart and soul to these youngins, that's God rewarding me for nothing that I've done with them myself. It's just one of those gifts that He gives along the way. He and that's what I love about Him. Verse 4 says, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. I sin against God. You sin against God. We sin against each other, but it's against God. It's His laws. It's His covenants. It's His things. It's His. It's perfect. It's what He's done. And then, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm better than so-and-so, and I live better than so-and-so. It doesn't matter. We're all transgressors of the Word of God. We're all standing in need of the Word of God. We've all got to have the blood of Jesus Christ applied, or you will not get to heaven. You will not go. And that's the thing about it. You've got to see yourself as what you are before you can ever ask Him to help you. And that's the beauty of Him, is you've got to realize you sinned against God. And God's bigger than any man. He's bigger than all mankind. He's bigger than the universe. You've transgressed God. He's the biggest thing ever. He's always been. He always will be. A lot of those kids at the youth academy say, who's God's mom and daddy? I said, He didn't have no mom and dad. I can't explain that, but He's always been and He's always going to be, and I'm going to be with Him in the always going to be. And that's the beauty. That's what God's doing. That's that emptiness in your soul. He says, there's nothing. Nobody can say that there's no God. I don't care. There's no atheist in the world to convince me that there's no God, because they got to know. Because I know the thought process I've had, I know the thought process you've had. God's real. And God's not going away. And God's trying to give them hope and trying to give them a chance. But a lot of people will throw their chances away because, oh, well, so-and-so don't believe in Him, so I don't. That's foolish. That's just crazy. You've got, and I told those kids the other night, it's not a religion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ personally within you. I didn't get saved the way Brother Wynn did. I probably didn't get saved the way Brother Raymond did. But we're all saved. But it's different. My relationship is different with God than your relationship. We all got to have Him. We all got to love Him. We all got to need Him. But it's different. And God helps us at different times in our lives. And He's right there to do anything we need at any time. And that's what He wants us to do. He's our Father. He's the one that we call out to. Father God, You're the one. But Lord, Lord, you know. But Jesus said there will be some that cry out, Lord, Lord, and I do not know them. They've gone about, they've lived the life. They've gone to church. They've filled the pew. They've filled the money basket. But they've not given their soul to Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that ain't going to make it. There's a lot of people that you thought's going to be there that ain't going to be there. But it's going to be, it's really going to, and then there's going to be some that's there that you had no clue was going to be there. I mean, that's just God. There's going to be different religions there. There's going to be, because if you're through the blood of Jesus Christ, it's what gets you there. Just because I'm a Baptist ain't going to get me there. I'm glad I'm a Baptist. Do not ever get me wrong. I'm thankful that I'm a Baptist. I trust my lineage and heritage. I'm thankful for what I get to be. But that's not what got me to heaven. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And everybody's got to see that blood and go by that blood. That's who he is. Where'd I get to? Verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We were born sinners. Adam sold us out. There's no, that's just the way it is. There's nothing going to happen there, but that's what you were created in iniquity. But 6 says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. God wants us to learn about him. Amen. He wants us to learn, and he'll let you learn everything you want to learn. That's what I loved about going to Victory was, and I wasn't a good student. And I tried to be there, but I knew how to be a student then. But when I was in school, I was not a good student, believe it or not. I had a hard time learning because I was real struck in my ways and real hard-headed and real. I've got one that he ain't here with us tonight, but he's just like me, and bless his heart. I'm trying to show him. That my, you know, where I've messed up and what I've done, you need to pay attention to, son. I don't want you to go through the heartache this and right here's gone through. I don't want you to have to look at yourself in the mirror and know what you've been and what you've done. I don't want you to have to look at yourself and ever say that, because I know what I am. I know what I was. But God's wisdom, he wants to show us, and he wants to grow us, and he wants to let us learn. And everything you'll ever need to learn is in that word right there. It's right in front of us. He gave it all to us. He gave us his promises. He gave us that he'll never do this. If you do this, then I'll do this. You know, it's the ifs and thens. You said it the other night, didn't you, on Wednesday night? If we do one thing, then he'll do this. That's the beauty of God. But there are requirements that we have to go through to do it. And he wants that, because that's honor and that's obedience to him. And the Lord gave me this thought, and I'm going to preach it one day. God honors honor. If you honor God, he will honor you back. I promise you, and I've not got to study that out, but he is our honor. He's all about honor. And Colton wrote a paper the other day, and he was asking me something. He said, I wrote it about you. I've not got to read it. But he said, just give me a quote. I said, son, I ain't real smart. I can't just throw some quote out of there. And he said, well, just tell me your heart. And Colton, me and Colton's getting a little bit closer. You know, he's one of the smartest kids I've ever been around. I said, you know how I am. I said, respect. What was it, Colton? I'm honest. I couldn't remember. Respect and honesty are two of the biggest things in my life. If I can't respect you and you can't respect me, that's big to me. But honesty, just being honest. The drama doesn't live in me. I can't stand it in me. You know, it's like, I just try to be black and white. I just try to be. There's no gray area with us, our whole family. We're just what we are. And we're never, you know, I praise God for that, because he's made this unit, this family unit, that some of these kids are seeing as a family. That's what I love about it. Some of these ASU kids see a family unit, and that's special to me. And it's nothing in me. It's just that I want them to see me holy. I want to let them know that I have messed up, and I don't want you to mess up. And you know, when Lord saved me, I made a false profession in the fourth grade. And I was going to go to hell, and the church I went to was going to be okay with that, because I was on the church roll, and it, you know, I just was a number. And then I got to realizing, when I finally got the convicting power of God in my life, and he said, son, you was going to go to hell as a church member, and he started working on me. Me and my wife was unequally yoked when we got married. And do not try that, because if it hadn't been for the love of that woman right there, this one wouldn't be standing here preaching, I guarantee you. And she said, she wanted to leave me church, and I'm telling you, I was wicked, I was mean. I was not saved. And, you know, I couldn't live saved. I had the foulest mouth you ever heard. I said some of the rawest things. I did some of the rawest things. Now, after I got married, I respected her, but I still was foul. And we was coming from Forest Grove, your first church, and was going up that hill. And Jenny could tell something was burdening me bad. And she said, what's wrong, honey? And we got right up, going up Lost Ridge, right up before you turn back in that big old hole. And if you know what I'm talking about, I looked at her and I busted out crying and I said, if we went in that hole right now and we burn up, I said, you and my baby boy would go to heaven and I'd burn in hell forever. But God had to reveal that. God's word had to reveal that. And that's what the wisdom of God, the knowing of God, He wants us to know that because that's where you got to get with Him. But He's ready for you when He can get you there. Sometimes we'll delay our process of salvation because of just how foolish we are, and we're just not what we need to be. But you know, we got to recognize what we are and go on. And you know, I love Him, but let me know your wisdom. Verse 7 says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And I don't understand that, how as wicked and black and vile as Tim Kirby was, and I accept the payment that Jesus Christ made for me, and God does not see me as Tim Kirby anymore. He sees Jesus when He sees me. That's special. That's the reality of what you get when you become a child of God. His condemnation is not on you anymore. Jesus paid that price. He justified us. He's the one. He was our propitiation. He was the payment for our sin. Jesus Christ took it to the cross for me. That's why I can worship Him and love Him and beg Him when I need Him to answer my prayers. And He will answer them because I trust Him. It's nothing in me. But I'm white as snow. And I sit and I think about some of the things that I've prayed that was amiss. And me and my wife was laughing about it the other day. And I said, I don't even know how to pray. But yet Jesus is up there interceding for me and telling God, I believe this is what He meant. I believe this is what He meant. I don't really think that that's what He was praying. That's how much Jesus loves you. That's how much He loves all of us. Because if He wasn't interceding for us, we'd be in a mess. I'm telling you, He knows us. We can't even groan without Him. The groanings and utterings, He knows what they mean. That's Jesus Christ. He knows what you mean. When you can't even come up with a word or even to grunt and groan, when I was sick and in so much pain, I just grunt, but He knew what I was needing. And He gave it to me. He's healed my body. You're looking at a miracle. I mean, we're all miracles if you're saved by the grace and the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. You're a miracle. Because you went straight from going to hell straight to going to heaven in a matter of a few seconds. Just one decision. Rejecting or accepting Jesus Christ. That's it. There's nothing else to it. You got to know what you're going to do with Jesus. Verse 8 says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. We need to hear from Him. We need to hear joy and gladness. It's not all down in the dumps. Amen. It's not all that bad. I thought cancer was bad, but things can be worse. Truly. They can be worse. But we need to be joyful and happy, because if you look at the end product of what He's created in you, you're a masterpiece that He's not done with. He's got to take some of my imperfections, and I love about the potter and the clay, and He'll take that little knife and He'll flick that out. But there'll be another something, an imperfection show, because we're full of them. We just got to recognize that we're full of them. I'm not anything that I'm never going to arrive. He's got to work on me the rest of my life. And I trust Him to do it because He's already doing it. You got to trust Him to do it. You got to trust Him to take it to the sin away. You got to trust Him to take the imperfections away. But when something as big as God gets inside something as small as us, it shows. It comes out. It cannot come out because it's God. He's the one that fills up that void. He's the one that straightens your life out. He's the one that wants you to live. He's got a perfect plan for all of our lives. A perfect plan. And I've talked about, I made mistakes and He's had to change the plan, the road course for my life. But I'm still going to heaven, but He's just had to reveal things. And it's been my own fault that I'm not where I need to be with God. We just got to get there. But you got to have a willingness and a want to get there. But 9 says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. He wrote it out. He blotted it out. And I'm going to tell you the verse that saved my soul, and I'm just going to read it real quick to you. Luke 10 and 20. This was preached the day that I got under conviction. I didn't get saved that day. But God is a long-suffering God that he knew what I needed to hear. He could have took me out of this world as a young man, but he saw something in this old boy that I didn't see in myself, still don't see it in myself, but God saw something. And my wife saw something. But God showed me his love through her. And God can speak to me through her. But we're just going up that hill. Luke 10:20, and I can't, and it's some of these words, I get them jumbled up. It says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I knew my name was not in heaven. I knew it was not in the Lamb's book of life. I knew I was, if God would have came back and opened that book, my name was not there. I knew where I was going to spend eternity. That was the thing about it. But he's blotted my sin out, but he's blotted that and marked all of that out. But then he's marked me into the book. He's marked me into the book that matters. He's wrote my name in there. I know I'm in there. I know that I know. And it's a good thing to be there. And you got to know that. Because this life is hard, but he blotted all of that mess out, and you know, blot out my iniquities. He will forgive you of anything and everything. That's who he is. He loves us. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Every morning I try to say that, because I can't harbor hardness for somebody if I ask him to create me a clean heart every morning. Harboring hardness is where we get bitter. And harboring is not a good thing. Harbor, there's safety in the harbor sometimes. There's another message right there I've got to get worked out. But harboring does not do us any good. We've got to go to him with a clean heart every morning and say, renew my spirit. Because my spirit's a little less spirit. It ain't his. But when he gets in me, it's big. And it's like, you just help me to be something to somebody today. Help me to just say an encouraging word to somebody. Help me to tell Jesus to somebody. Help me to explain Jesus to somebody if anybody's got a question. That's what we need to do every day, is create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Not a spirit of contempt and backbiting. And, you know, there's so many spirits that's not the fruit of the Spirit. It's battle. We're all in it, but we need that joy and that meekness and that long-suffering. We need to realize what we need to be. But that's what that means. And David was crying out to him, God, I've got to have you to do this for me. Because he had done some bad things right here. I mean, he had laid with Bathsheba, and then he had Uriah killed. And you know, but that's what I love about God. And I've always said, God does not only tell us the good in people. In his word, he tells us the truth about people. And he tells us exactly what we are. And that there's somebody in that word. There's a bunch of men in that word that I can relate to. There's a lot of women in that word that you ladies can relate to. There's people in there that are just, they've messed up. They've done good things. Moses, I love old Moses, but he messed up. He got to see the promised land, but he didn't get to enter. But he messed up. David messed up, but David knew. And God knew his heart. God knew that he had that heart that could be reached. And that God, that David just cried out and just lamented and just begged God, help me. And I've messed up. And we're still going to mess up. The best day you've got, you can still mess up. And it's just the best. It's just because we're nothing but a pile of mud. And he takes a pile of dust and breathes that special breath on it, and it becomes a man. That's the power of God. Nobody else has ever done that. And nobody else, you know, because God created life, and if you die, he can give you life again. He's done it. He's proved it. He did it with his son, did it with Lazarus. And you know, that's the beauty. There's a woman I went to give blood one time, and I was telling her about my deal, and she said, you're a walking, talking Lazarus. Because God didn't let me die. I should have been. He should have let me die in my wicked state when I was a teenager that could have cared less for anything in the world. I was wicked and mean, but God said no. Jesus said no. Let's save him. Let's get him saved. Let's let him go through some hardships, and we will go through some hardships to learn it. But you've got to realize who he is, and how you stand before him matters. It matters. Your whole life is based on that decision that you make with Jesus. Your whole life matters then. And a lot of these kids, a lot of these Youth Academy kids, they think that they've done something so bad, or something so bad's been done to them, that God can't forgive them. I said, no. God's a God of love. God loves you more than anything. God can forgive you, and God loves you. That's why we're here. Because I couldn't be in this ministry if I didn't have the love of God in it. Because He loved me first, to where I can show others His love through me and my wife and our family. And that's the beauty of this, is that it's God's love. He's bigger than anything that we're going to face. He knows what's going to happen. Verse 11 says, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." You know, in the end times, if you've decided to not go God's way, you're going to be cast away. It says it in the Word of God. I feel like David right here was, please don't separate from me. I need you. I've got to have you. Please don't pull away from me. Even though I have done some of these things, please don't turn your back on me. And that's what we got to beg God sometimes, to do that for us, because we'll get all high and mighty and think that we've got it we've got her by the tail, and we don't. And we've got to, please don't draw away from me, because I love God for the way He rebukes me sometimes. And people look at me sometimes like, you're crazy. But when He reproves me and He rebukes me, I may not be in right standing with Him, and I can get there, but I know I'm His child when He does that. When He spanks me and He takes me to the woodshed, I know I'm His. Because He wouldn't do that if He didn't love me. If He was not my Father, He would not clean me up and want me to be clean. That's a lot of people think that that's crazy to say, but I love it because it confirms my belief in Him, and it confirms who He is in me. And you know, He's in me, so therefore I have to live for Him because I want to live for Him. 12 says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit." The joy of thy salvation. We ought to be thanking God and praising God every day with a joyful heart that we're saved. And if you're not, you can be. But we've gone out here into this world, and it's hum and drum, and it's gray and it's dark, and Satan is closing in, because the last days are upon us. They're here. We're living them. I think we'll be the generation that goes straight out. I think we'll meet Him in the air. I think He's coming. I know He's going to come. That's the last thing that's got to happen. First time He came was to save us. Second time He's coming is in judgment. Second time Jesus comes here, it's not going to be good for the lost. It's not going to be a good time. It's not going to be a happy time, because it's over then. You do not have the opportunity. It's critical right now that we pay attention to what God's telling us, or what God's drawing us, and what God's telling us He wants us to do. It's not a hard thing to realize that we're in the end times. We're there because it's waxing worse and worse and worse. Our country is fighting amongst itself without really pulling any guns out, and it's stupid, I guess is the word. I really don't know a better word. It's just not, I don't understand it. We need to be wanting to go and be in unity, but there's so much stuff that's got stirred up now that didn't even need to get stirred up, that's not right. And y'all know where I'm saying and where I'm going with that. And it's, everybody's got their own opinion, and it doesn't matter really. It's what God thinks about it. And it's got to be hurting Him. It's got to be grieving Him how our country's in the shape it's in. What this country was founded on, and men died and bled for, and then it gets tromped on, and we let people just tell us what we need to be. We need to take a stand. It's what we need to be. If you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, we need to take a stand. And he's going to demand that before long. 13 says, "Then will I teach transgressors their ways, and sinners will be converted unto me." And there's that word, teach transgressors. I'm asking you, pray for me. Help me be a better teacher. But help me to teach people their transgression. It's not to bash you because you're a sinner, because we're all sinners. It's coming out of a loving heart. And you know, that there's a lot of things go on that campus, and just if you smile at somebody could make or break their day. And if they see that this club loves God and that we're not there to attack sin, it's not what you are that keeps you out of heaven, it's your sin. And you can't pick your sin, and you can't say, well, I want to be this way, but God can still save me. If it transgresses the word of God, it's wrong. And it's never going to be right. If what you're doing and think that you want to be is something that God's not going to allow, then you can't be that. You got to go God's way. But it's love, and I've started, I'm not near, and it's just the way God's helping me. I'm not near as raw as brass or as loud to some of these kids, because it matters to them. It matters how I speak to them. It matters how they respect me. And it matters how, if I do say something amiss, that it can be mended and it can be told that I was sorry. But some of those kids over there that we don't even get to deal with, they need Jesus Christ. And this is a big, big ministry, to the point of, you know, you can't go in there, and that's one thing that they've got against us, is they feel like we're going to bash them for the sin that they choose to partake in. But, you know, it's just sin. That's what I try to tell those kids over at the Youth Academy. It's not. There's one come to me the other day, well, it's been a couple months ago, and she said, well, the girls came back from church last week, and they said that I was going to go to sin, I was going to go to hell because I was a lesbian. She said, did you say that? I said, nope. And she said, so you're saying that I ain't going to hell because I'm a lesbian? I said, you ain't going to hell because you're a lesbian. You're going to go to hell because you're a sinner. It ain't the sin. It's sin. They pick their sins and they want to battle you with their sins and what they want to hold on to, but you got to give it up. You got to repent. You can't be that way. You've got to turn it all over to God. You've got to let Him have it, and He will clean you up from the inside out. And that's the thing about it. You know, I sit and I think, and I don't understand why He's giving me what He's giving me. Why I'm not worthy of anything that He's giving me. None of us are. A lot of people live that way, but it's not that way. 14, deliver me from thy blood guiltiness, O God, thy God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Blood guiltiness, the taking of blood, you know. Poor David was as guilty as you could be right here. He tried to get Uriah to go home and lay with Bathsheba. But he wouldn't do it. That boy's loyal. He laid at the door, protected his king. But you know it would have to hurt bad. You'd have to really get a hatred in you, or you'd have to really know that you had messed up so bad to take a man that was that loyal and send him back into the battle to die. But David got there. We get there. It's just sin. It's a sin problem. It's just what we're cursed with, because we're Adam's children. We're Adam's children, but you can be a son of God or a daughter of God. That's the beauty of that. But he was so guilty of blood, and he took a man's life. And then, you know, they lost a child through that. The sin was so great in David's house that it's handed down for generations and generations. And that's the thing about that, the Youth Academy, and some of these kids that get raped and their brothers and sisters get killed, and they see it, and the dad in me wants to lash out and protect and actually, well, they're going to get what they deserve, because I'm human. I'm just like you. But I had a woman sit over with me the other day. Well, it's been a while. And she looked at me and she said, Tim, I love this woman. She's just so sweet. And she said, Tim, that's about the voice she said it in, that man needs Jesus as much as you did. And that man, that smote my heart. Because I know what happens to child rapers in prison. I know what happens to child molesters in prison. They don't make it long. Because even our prisons have probably got a better code of ethics than the world's living in right now. Yeah. They take care of the wicked. They get rid of it. They don't want to be around it. But that smote my heart when she told me that, because I had to realize that I was looking at this all wrong. That human being, Jesus Christ died for, the same as He did for me. And these kids, that have seen these things, and you know, you want to protect them, but God's got them there for a reason. He's protecting them for a reason. He loves them, but God is bigger. God is the, He just loves us as unworthy as we are. I can't even thank Him but for what He's done for me. But 15 says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. I thank God that he called me to preach, and I can open my mouth and I can proclaim His word, and it's just, but we need to know who we're speaking to. We need to know how to speak to them. We need to do it out of a loving heart, not out of a condemning heart. Your sin, you know, sin is not good, but we're all sinners. We can't look down on somebody because of their sin. I think this is a big problem in our churches right now, and I'm talking all churches, is that we look down on sinners anymore. We quickly forget that we was there not long ago. And nobody looked down on us, and nobody quit praying for us, or you wouldn't be a child of God. We've got to get back to praying and doing what God wants us to do. We've got to open our mouths and open our lips and show forth the praise of God, because praising God's a privilege. It's something that you learn to do because of what He's done for you. It's praising God is a beautiful thing when you give Him the honor and you give Him the glory for everything that goes on. Because everything that goes on good, it comes from God. And the, you know, that's one thing that we've all got to remember, that, and that's what I try to tell those kids over there, is God allows bad things to happen sometimes, and God can take some bad situations, but He can find the good in it and use the good out of any situation. He can take bad people and use them for good. He did it in the Bible numerous amount of times. He did things through wickedness because He showed them who He was through it all. And 16 says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. And I sit and think about that sacrifice, and obedience is greater than sacrifice. Obedience to God matters to God. Obedience to God is what He demands and He requires for you to be obedient. Because if you're not obedient, or delayed obedience is disobedience. Think about that. If you delay, or you're disobedient, or delayed obedience, if He wants you to do something, you better do it. And if you don't, you're being disobedient. You say, well, God, I'm going to do it in a little while, or I'm going to do it next week. No, if He wants it done, do it. Because He's in it, and He'll honor you if you honor Him. Being obedient to God matters, because He is a God of obedience. He loves obedience. And you know, we need to search ourselves for that. But I'm going to close with 17. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. God is big. And I got to thinking about contrite, and I looked that up in Webster's. And contrite is to break or bruise. He wants you with a contrite heart, with a broken or bruised heart. He wants you to realize what you are and what you've done, and He can help you with that. Because you got to come to Him broken, or He can't fix you if you're right. If you think you're good, He can't help you, because you don't need Him. But that's that, or to rub or to wear. That's what contrite means. And I think about our bodies, and we was, Brother Melvin was laughing about falling over at the preacher dinner, and he fell flap in the floor. And he said, but I hurt, brother, I'm getting old. But he's rubbed and he's wore out. But he's, you know what I'm saying? That's the wearing of our bodies. We're wore out, but God wants that. But it's a contrite, but deeply affected with grief and sorrow for having offended God. You got to get a contrite heart towards God, because you got to realize you've offended Him. God is where it's at. God created us. God's got to get your heart to where you realize you're in a transgression with Him. You're in opposition against God. If you're not for Him, you're against Him. The Bible says it. You've got to get right with God. But you've got to have grief and sorrow for having offended Him, but you got to be humble. And you got to be penitent. And penitent, I said, well, I've got to figure that out too. So penitent means one that repents of sin. One sorrowful on account of his transgressions. That's what this verse is talking about right here. Suffering pain or sorrow of heart. A sense of guilt. You got to be guilty
before you'll go to God for help. He's the judge, the jury, he could be the executioner one day. You've got to go to Him guilty. You got to go to Him and say, I am guilty. I know I'm guilty. I've got to come to You and I know I'm guilty. And I have to do that and I'm saved. But God's got to know that I'm guilty. I've got to know that I'm guilty. I've got to know that I've transgressed God. That's the way I've got to go to Him. I want to read that one more time and we'll be done. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise. God's good. I love God. And God's better than anything. He's better than everything. He is everything. And, you know, if you're here and God's dealing with you and you know He's dealing with you, do business with Him. Just be obedient to Him. It's you got to come with that contrite heart and that contrite spirit, knowing that you're guilty. You got to realize you're guilty. You got to come to Him that way. Do you want to close out, brother? Well, I'll let you close out because this is a serious time. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's seek God. Y'all pray. Continue to pray for us. And.